Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him. I'm a queer political activist, actor, comedian, self-proclaimed sexy blurb. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by other fabulous minorities and some allies tackling the news, pop culture, politics, media, entertainment, and history with a little self-care, self-love sprinkled throughout, all for our own personal and collective empowerment. Sam Jackson, she here, is back bringing out all the cans of wine as we keep the celebration going. We talk about what this defeat of Trump especially means for black folks in this historic election, plus my first COVID test and why I went in, our hopes for the media post-Trump, and a deep dive into the historic nature of white feminism and how it connects with this year's election results and how white feminism, it's not just for women. Looking at you, gays. Well, we continue to celebrate the long overdue amazingness of black women. We should have been known, but now we all know we're on the same page. So we're going to be just uplifting the historic work that black women have been doing in all that good stuff and so much more as we learn, laugh, and play right here on a new episode of Minority Corner. Let's go. Can you feel a brand new day? Can you feel a brand new day?
Brand new day.
Brand new day. We need some Jennifer Hudson.
Brand new day. And I'm telling you, I'm going.
He is trying to be like the Jennifer Hudson of like, and you, listen, and you, and you. We're like, no, we're done. We're get out of here.
And you're going to love me.
And it's one of those things that everybody, it's like everyone that you thought was your friend is not your friend. Because even Fox News is starting to turn away from him. Even Fox News is like, we need to take the mic. Like Kayleigh McEnany was saying some nonsense. And you know it's bad when they're cutting Kayleigh McEnany off. And she's like, and there's illegal votes. And we're like, we have to turn away from this because these are unfactual. Like Fox News is turned against you.
Listen, at a certain point, the news has to be the news. Did you see... Oh my God, did you see the man who was like, wait, there was an anchor. I don't remember what channel it was. I just saw it on Instagram. Then there was an anchor getting ready to do something live. And this Trump supporter comes up behind him and he goes, is this real news or fake news? The anchor turns around and goes, fuck off. And then continues what he was doing. Did you see that?
Yes. I think it's like,
I'm so into
everyone's it. Done with this. It was a 4-year nightmare where even like Fox News is like, all right, can we get the circus? Can we turn the page? Let's turn the page to the point where like, I mean, there's still some like exorcisms that they need to do over Fox News. When Tucker Carlson is like on the news talking about that Joe Biden's just a hologram, I'm like, this is too much like Alex Jones conspiracy shit. But you know what? I'm not talking about that right now. I'm celebrating because you know what? We did it. I'm still doing it. We did it.
We won the battle. Let's go.
Oh, it feels like we were running a race, but had like asthma with like stuck in one of those bear traps and with like a giant gorilla on us with like bees. And now there's like, you know, maybe I still got the asthma, but the bear trap is gone. The bear's gone. There's still some bees. You know, the murder hornets. There's still always something that's going to kind of get you, but the load is a little bit lighter, you know? Or like black people have always been like running with a weight, but it's now finally like gone. And like, I don't know if you saw this like within your family, but like how much black people were probably like anybody else, all other groups and communities, and not trying to play the oppression Olympics, but like, you know, I talked to white people and I'm like, imagine like the anxiety and stress and fear that you've had over the last 4 years, multiply that by 10 for any like POC, specifically like black folks, queer folks or whatnot. And just like Black folks are used to carrying weight of the world and trauma and stress, but like,
so when there's more weight put on us, some bullshit to the point, it's just,
and like, we're so like, my family, I think we're just going about their lives, like they were suffering on the internal side, but when we had a prayer call, and Lord, you would have thought Jesus, you would have thought Jesus came back. Because
I the love
and
it.
Holler and that was
Ooh,
going
come on.
On. And I didn't even know that there was that much pain and anguish happening within my family.
I recognize that if there's pain and anguish happening inside of me, you know, as this like free spirited, young actor, queer, just like living, hello. But you know what I mean? Like living my best life, like able to do everything I wanted to do because my parents provided, my parents made this, you know, made it possible for me to be the woman that I am today.
Yeah.
You know, they grew up with a lot more struggle than I did. So if I'm feeling weight, I can only imagine what they're feeling. You know what I mean? And especially feeling it because they know their children are feeling it. I can't even. Like my heart breaks because I know my niece and nephew are feeling it. You know what I mean? It's just.
Can't even. And I think, and I said this before, but I think that we need it. Like, phew, that was close. Let's never do that again. Dance that close to, like, the dictator fire ever again. Like, tested the brinks of how far our democracy could possibly bend. Great, we tested it. We barely landed and made it safe. Like, never again. But I think that's, like, we needed these 4 years to happen. Like, look how activated people got. Like, I know people who, like, a friend of mine who's, like, in his, like, almost 50s is, like, I've never donated to a political campaign. But he did. Like, even it was, like, just, you know, $25. Or whatnot, like people got activated. We all, in some degrees, like everyone has to take a moral inventory and look at, like, we all fell asleep at the wheel of democracy in some way. And some groups were disenfranchised and whatnot over centuries, but we woke up and remembered our power, right? Like the people that came out and like. We need to we need to also sort of focus on like who is the true democratic base. Because who are the heroes here, okay? Like, we need to look at, like, you know, Black people in overwhelming numbers.
Come on.
Save this country. All the way. And like, hat goes off to James Clyburn, who back in the primaries was like, no, y'all need to go vote for this old white man, Joe Biden, because y'all are too racist. Like, he saw how challenging, like, Joe Biden barely won with a coronavirus, the most racist president we have physically seen today.
With voter suppression, with, like, let's talk about all of the things. All of the things that were
a racist electoral college, like, all the things that we have to try to, it's so much harder for us to win. And Jim Clyburn was like, listen, all these conversations are really cute. Let's bring them to the table, but we need this old ass white man to be the mouthpiece of it because this country is racist. People will co-sign on the racism or all the time. So hats goes off to him. And like, we need to and making sure that we're continuing to have spaces at the table for the people that really are the backbone, the communities, the demographics. Like, you know, Navajo Nation came out, like they were riding on horseback to get to the nearest polling station. I mean, come on. Like, give Stacey Abrams the keys to the Democratic National Committee. She knows what she's doing. Give her the keys to the castle. Make her the queen of the DNC or the whatever it is. I don't care what the title is. She's in charge. Stacey's in charge.
Yo. Okay, so I don't mean to like bring light to this, but I do because it's light and fantastic. Have you seen, again, I'm going back to Instagram, my bad. I'm sorry. Okay. But it's the Sister Act 2, like,
when they're singing and dancing.
When they're singing and dancing. But it's Stacey Abrams as Whoopi Goldberg. And it's Oh Happy Day. And it just goes, y'all, if you have not seen it, please look it up. It is magical. Stacey Abrams is Whoopi Goldberg. And then all the kids are the different days and the polls and how they just kept moving and growing. And then the audience is like Georgia, Pennsylvania. Like people, oh my God, y'all. I wept. I literally cried. I was like, this is so beautiful. This is everything that I needed. And just, oh, happy day is always, I always cry anyway.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yes. I mean, we were.
I'll repost it. I'll repost it so y'all can see it.
We were partying out here. So much, in fact, that, and I was, we were doing very, because I live in the Castro and we were on the stoop and I had like a few friends over and then we watched out. I put a monitor out in the backyard and we watched and we were being, but there's a lot of people. I haven't been around that many people in like, you know, so long. Also too, it's like, you don't usually see this unless like a dictator was top, like old white man got elected, people dancing in the streets, but it wasn't necessarily just about that. It was about like what we know how close it was to this all being destroyed, and the people that were going to suffer the most, like white people were going to be fine no matter what. Let's be honest. Systematically, white people really are fine no matter who's president, right? The people that tend to suffer the most are those who are not white. Like, we will bear the brunt of any laws or legislations or environmental, like, you know, malfeasance or anything like that. I mean, it was going to be uncomfortable, but like, y'all are going to be fine. I appreciate the sympathy pains and the sympathy experiences and whatnot. Y'all are going to be fine. But like, you know,
I mean, I want a yes and, porque it's a very different struggle.
Yes.
I'm not saying that they're the same struggle, right. But white cis men were always going to be fine.
Yes.
White women were going to struggle. People in the LGBTQAAI community were going to struggle. Was it going to be better than us?
Yeah, right. Totally. Like, we were going like to be the thing, ones right? that were going to be closer. We're always closer to the fire. Yes. So we're going to be the first ones to get burned. You might feel some of the heat, but especially like you know, white women, I think, again, they've been a protected class throughout history of America, and which is why you still have, I haven't seen, I'm holding off on like doing data breakdowns because the polling still, we're still counting votes, especially in, you know, very diverse areas. So I'm still waiting, but currently right now, and I know you're probably going to get into this a little bit later, but
just a little bit.
Polls are showing that white women once again came out for, you know, Donald Trump. So we will have a conversation about that. But I was around all these people and I was like, I woke up like the Sunday. I haven't drank that much in like so long, just because, like, you know, I'm not just, well, no offense if this is what you're doing, but I'm not just sitting at home drinking. It's a pandemic. Like,
I don't need to feel judged right now. Thank you.
So not, I could, I keep saw your it in your eyes. I was like, ugh, thank you for not coming for you today.
No, what you saw was this can of wine coming to my lips. So I know you pointed. Y'all listen.
Is it a yes she can?
It isn't. Is that a thing?
Yes. There is a, ma'am. It's a wine in a can and it's called Yes She Can. We were drinking those on the porch because yes she can.
That's cute.
Yes she can and she did.
Yes, she can't. You know what I have had though? Black Girl Rosé, and I'm here for it.
Also, too, I forgot to just give snaps. Like, you might see, I love this new look that women, specifically Black women, are rocking our blazers because we got a Black lady Vice President of the United States.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, is that the President of the United, is that the Vice President of the United States? Because it could be.
I think she might
be. It could be.
I'm sorry, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, is that who we're talking about?
I mean,
about?
Like, I can't, sometimes, like, if I, this doesn't happen often, like, I'm sleeping well again now that, like, you know, Ding Dong the Witch is Dead has been playing in my head. Like, every time, the moments when I have, like, a little bit of sadness, which is really rare right now, like, because I'm writing on
good for you
joy
you are
winning. When I do feel sad, I look at the pictures of her and I'm just done, because it's just like, never forget how fucking historical this moment. I don't take it for any sort of granted. When you look at all the pictures of all the last vice presidents, all white dudes, and then her, huge, and Black women who have been consistently the backbone of the Democratic Party getting their much deserved seat at the table. So I went to go get, Sunday I was feeling fine. I was like, oh, that was fun. And then Sunday I woke up, I was feeling so tired. I had a headache and I was like, I better go get myself a COVID test. And so,
been just hungover.
Okay,
yes, she can. Look, she said I was drinking. Yes, she can. Mind you, I don't know if you guys know
tequila and the tequila. Wine,
listen, let me teach the cheering. Wait, cheering.
Yeah.
When you drink a can of wine, and I don't mean like this can. I mean this can. So I have a skinny can and a fat can. Look, I am pointing.
How could you have? Wait, I'm sorry. Why do you just happen to have two? I'm not shaming you. I'm just asking questions. These are questions to understand, not questions to push. why do you have two cans at the ready of just alcoholic beverages? Curious. And one of them looks empty.
Which one looks empty?
The one on the left.
That's correct. So this one.
You're not on trial here. I'm just, you know, getting the facts.
Listen, you we're guys, back, I would not come to you drunk.
We're back to the land sloppy. Of facts. Facts matter now. We're back fact to check. We're back to facts. Facts are in again.
So I went to the corner store because I have had a very long day and I had to do this audition, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a little small can of wine to enjoy while I like get ready for this audition, blah, blah, blah. Also, I would like to have a can of wine for during and or after a podcast life.
Okay.
Right?
And then so I would also afterwards post, I would also like to have another can of wine.
Do you hear this judgment? I'm getting very close to my microphone. This is a judgment that you're hearing right now. No. Okay. So this one was just a new one that was cute and I wanted to try it. And I've been drinking it for the past, like, it's 250 milliliters, which is like a glass and a half of wine.
Okay.
That I've had over the course of like the last 2.5 hours. So this has been the sipping wine. But then the regular cans, the cans that look like beer cans.
Oh,
that's a half a bottle.
Sip on that. Look at that. Science with Sam.
So that's a sipper. I would just like you all to know, is the yes she can?
The yes
what
she
size
can.
Is that?
I don't know because by that point I had already had several cocktails. Why am I now on trial?
No, I'm asking you.
I don't know. It was like cup size, you know, like the cup, like the hand cup cocktail size. And then I had a few of those. I forget, some sort of like delicious cocktail that was just glug, 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 glug. And then there was tequila. There was all kinds of things. Anyways, woke up. I was fine on Sunday. And that's, I was like, oh my God, I did all the drinking. I was fine. And then Monday, I was like, oh, I have a headache. I'm tired. What? Okay. Oh no. And then today, today I woke up, felt amazing. And then I went to my COVID appointment. Also terrified because I was like, oh my God, they're going to shove something up my right nostril, swirl it around, tickle my brain, and then shove something up my left nostril, tickle my brain. I've been like, in pain all day thinking about the pain I was going to go through. And then I got there and they're like, how are your symptoms? I'm like, oh, I think they're gone. I think I was just really hungover. And they're like, the doctor was like, you need to go. But she still did the test. But she was like, they were very concerned. I was like, I think I just was hungover. And then the test has changed. It's just a little like tickle, tickle, tickle inside your nose.
So that depends on where you go.
Oh, did you get the jam it up the nostril touch the brain?
Because like one time I got touched my
was
brain.
Was it a truck?
And then I got like.
Was it like a taco truck?
No, I can't stand you.
Like a COVID truck? Hey, you come on over here. I'll see if you got that Rona. I got a Rona test. Let me just, bam! Let me get the other one. Bam!
Why does Uncle Junior always come to visit me?
He got work, too. He got work, too. He multi-talented man. Help with that economy.
I can't stand it. I've had both experiences. I love that you did not have to have your brain space tickled because it's not.
I was like, it's 2020. Like, can I just spit in a cup? I can pee in a cup and you can find out if I've done all the drugs. But to find out if I got a little bit of Rona, you have to like figure out everything that's going. You have to touch my brain. I have to like pretty much get like a colonoscopy to figure that out. It's a lot. It's a lot. Get better, science. Fauci, get on this. You know what? Fire him then. I'm just kidding.
I can't stand you. Well, get to that in a minute. Sorry.
Well, we can't. Oh, but can we talk about, I have a question for you. So some celebrities, because you know, we always like to check into like, yes, how are we dealing with all the news of things? But let's see how the celebrities are dealing. So Katy Perry and Zachary Levi have, you know, Zachary Levi, Shazam, he was saying something to the effect of just like, you know, poems of, your eyes are rolling already, poems of like,
so
let's come together, olive branches, good people on both sides. And then Katy Perry is like, call your family. And she did like campaign for Joe Biden. She wrote a song. She was campaigning for Hillary Clinton, but she's like, call your family today. And, you know, people are hurting on the other side. Is it time for that yet? Is it?
You know,
are we doing that?
Listen,
then?
This is what I think. I think, like, y'all, if you want to go ahead and lay down your cross and, like, have your little moment, do you, boo. Don't sit here and tell me, don't posture and say, well, this is what we should do. This is what you should do. I'm not ready for that. It is not the time for me to say, oh, I'm so sorry that your president lost, because they for sure didn't do that to me. And let me tell you, all those people who voted for Trump did not say, oh, I'm so sorry, your brother in arms lost his life when George Floyd passed. They didn't say your sister in arms lost her life when Breonna Taylor passed. They did not say your sibling in arms lost their lives when the hundreds of Black trans men and women lost their lives.
They said, fuck your feelings. There are t-shirts. There are literally campaign t-shirts that said, fuck your feelings. And I remember
snowflake.
How
You're such
quickly
a snowflake.
I was told to get over the Hillary Clinton loss. And that's why this whole entire shenanigans of like the lawsuits and trying to count the ballots. Like, let's remember Florida. When we talk about 2000, we're talking about 570 votes, right? You're not going to do a recount in these states that like it just... the numbers are not going to add up. Like, Russia didn't come through for you the way that you wish that they had. Your voter suppression shenanigans didn't work the way that you had. This is our democracy. And honestly, like, anybody who is seeing, you know, the people who are trying to intimidate the vote counters to stop counting ballots, and then they wanted to, in some places, to start counting ballots. It was very confusing. The messaging was confusing. Mm-hmm. Get your messages together. You know, have a meeting. Well, no hoods, but, you know, have a meeting. But, like, every American should be upset about, like, I mean, even if I was on the, I wanted every ballot counted even last time, even if there were some that were going to go for, you know, disgustingly for Donald Trump, but that is like the way we had to suck it up, and we had to suck it up. It hurts. Yes. I've been there. I know. And also, to Katy Perry's point, call your family. I didn't have to call my mama and daddy. You know why? They voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Like, you need to, if you have a vast amount of people in your family that you need to call, then those are conversations that you should, that you can have. But there's still the racism that, like, and I was specifically talking about, like, the vast, like, that to me is her speaking to her privilege, or her, like, that's a very, that's a white issue. And I'm not saying that there aren't POCs who also have that as well, but, like, the data shows that it's going to be more so happening for white people than POCs.
And also, I'm sorry, I haven't seen all her tweets. I do not, I'm not a follower. However, why weren't you talking to people about calling their family before this election? Mm-hmm. Why weren't you having this conversation before? Why weren't you saying, hey, we're family, let's talk, let's figure out how we can help each other. Why aren't you supporting me? Why aren't you supporting XYZ, yes. Right? Have the conversation before. It's not time to sit here and console. It is not my responsibility as the underdog
100%
to console the privileged. I'm sorry, honey.
We're
don't
so
tell me to do that
nasty
shit anymore.
About
I'm over
it for it. 4 years. Nasty about four it for 4 years. And this is the thing, too. It's not like this election was just a difference of opinion. People were fighting for their lives. Like, yes. I was fighting for my community's life, right? And the other communities who even maybe have it, you know, undocumented workers or, you know, the kids in cages was who I was thinking about when I went to go fucking vote. So this wasn't a difference of opinion. This was literally a battle of the soul of America. Wow, that is catchy. That really does work, Joe Biden.
And I mean, if that is your passion, if you feel like you want to go and reach out to your family because that's what you would have wanted them to do for you, if you feel like, you know, you want to be the golden rule right now, more power to you. Go for it. Mm-hmm. Do not tell me and or anyone else to do it. That's what the
especially
issue
it's
is
a
for
very,
me.
And my other thing too is I have two things. Like, I don't care what white people have to say anymore. I'm sorry. Why are we asking Katy Perry what she thinks? Or maybe you know what it is? It's this article went in on like her Twitter. You know, I'm tired. What is Spike Lee doing? You know what he's doing? Popping bottles. I'm interested in that article. That's what I want to hear, right? Like, there's just certain people I'm like, I'm done. I'm tired. Black lady in the White House. Like, I'm feeling emboldened now, okay? This is how that's going. So it just seems when you hear those sort of things, it just seems like a very white privilege, still liberal bubble of the conversation. Call your family. Who are you talking to,
right.
Katy
Perry? Who are you talking to?
Who are you talking to? I think I have maybe one cousin. I got 46 first cousins. Like, so, okay, yeah, the data was going to show up there, you know, with the numbers. It was one, everyone's got that crazy somebody. One, you know, in the family.
Right.
Mm-hmm, Uncle Remus.
Uncle Junior so going to come that up. Was, right.
And I am of like unification to the point of for my own personal soul and sanity. I don't want all this mess. I don't want all that fighting. Mm-hmm. I think there's time and place. I think we deserve to celebrate. I think we have the right to celebrate because we won our freedom. It feels very reminiscent, I would imagine, of like when the Nazis were defeated, you know, or when emancipation was reached to every slave. You know, I think there's, we have space and time to celebrate. The man ain't even in the White House yet. Joe Biden ain't even in there. So we'll get to that unification stuff right now. But there has to be a healing and also a reckoning of the pain and the trauma that also occurred for that true healing to even occur.
And also, let's be very real about it. Glad to have Biden and Harris in the White House. And the celebration is less about who is going in and who, it's more about who is coming out. Like, you know what I mean? Let's get 100%. It clear. Like, 100%. I stand a Black woman in the White House. I stand a mixed race magical being in the White House. I also recognize that there are some policies that I have seen that I'm not all for. I also see that in Biden. Like, I don't want you as listeners to get it confused that we are just like, we are 1,000% behind these candidates. They weren't necessarily our first choices. However, the change in power is incredible. So like that's something that is to be celebrated in the same way that the Nazis being defeated. And I love that you said it that way. It's the Nazis being defeated, not what came after, right? It's the defeat of this negative, horrible, disgusting power. Yeah. Which I think is so powerful.
Yes. And I think there's two things on that, because I think also why, and we'll get into this when we talk about like race and economics, and it's important for us to not... There's a reason why to have a true unification process, because if we leave these disgruntled Trump supporters to their own devices, think about what the difference between how the U.S. ended World War One and World War Two. Okay, so it's like, when the reason why the U.S. made sure that like the Germans' economy, a lot of money was given to the Germans or whatnot, and that the German economy was running up, because they didn't want another World War III to happen again. That you had to sort of like, all right, I'm going to keep an eye on you all and give you all some pacifiers or whatnot. You know, there has to, because it left to their own devices, it will just get back to where we were before again. And the thing is to keep the eye on the prize. It's like, I know we just got done running that marathon race, and then it's like, hey, I parked the car 4 miles away. You're like, but I just ran that race. Eyes on the prize, Georgia, like, you know, text making, phone banking, donating. We can tie the Senate, and then Kamala Harris can be the tie-breaking vote in the Senate. We stand so much more of a chance to get our legislation through. And all of the anger and pain that you're feeling, we've been feeling for Trump, we need to now keep that fire going and channel it into backing a Biden and Harris presidency and also holding them accountable. You can do both. And it's important because, you know, we have an election coming up in 2 years. Republicans will be coming back with a vengeance. And so we have to still stay the work. It's a lot of work that we have to do to unearth all this mess that happened and all the mess that had not been dealt with for decades. And so channel all that anger and that pain, keep that alive and channel it into, all right, we're going to get some stuff done. Hold them accountable. And also, like, you know, I don't know. I'm inspired by Joe Biden. Ran for president.
Hello. Yeah.
Two times, lost, and did it again. Same thing with, like, you know, I mean, that's inspiring. And, like, age ain't nothing but a number. Like, it's an inspiring story. He's overcome, you know, yes, he's a straight white man. But, like, we were saying, like, you know, everyone has their journeys and their struggles and the things that they come over, losing loved ones as many times as he's had. And also, Stacey Abrams lost her race and got back in the race in a different way, you know? Stay vigilant.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but, like, also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man. Sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks. Every week, myself and I'm Morgan Rhodes and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Listen, I'm a hotshot Hollywood movie producer. You have until I finish my glass of kombucha to pitch me your idea. Go.
All right, it's called Who Shot Ya? A movie podcast that isn't just a bunch of straight white dudes. I'm Iffy Whiteyway, the new host of the show and a certified BBN.
BBN?
Buff black nerd.
I'm Alonzo Duraldi, an elderly gay and legit film critic who wrote a book on Christmas movies.
I'm Drea Clark, a loud white lady from Minnesota.
Each week, we talk about a new movie in theaters and all the important issues going on in the film industry.
It's like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner meets Cruising.
And if it helps seal the deal, I can flex my muscles while we record each episode.
I'm sorry, this is a podcast? I'm a movie producer. How did you get in here?
Iffy, quick, start flexing.
Bicep, lats, chest. Who Shot Ya? Dropping every Friday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
White feminism, white feminism, huh? White feminism, white feminism. It's too much, it's too much. You gotta sit on back, it's too much. It's not you versus us. We're all in this together. Stop bathing in the blood of black people. I'm talking about Tick from Lovecraft Country. That's a spoiler in the song about white feminism, white feminism, white feminism, white feminism. Don't be a Christina. Are we good? Yeah?
I think that was a great song.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here. I'm with you. It was...
Right. It's the first thing. I've been wanting to sing that all the whole episode. I couldn't wait. So I'm glad you gave me space for that.
Of course I gave you space. I'm so proud of the composition. It was really... it was a touching track.
Good. Oh, yeah. So this just reminded me. Can we make sure... For some reason, that reminded me of, like, The Masked Singer. And then it made me think, I don't want to... Can we put Hollywood band together? I know you hungry for the ratings, but we need a band. When all of these fools from the Trump administration leave, I don't want to see them on... Ivanka, no, you don't get on Dancing with the Stars. I don't want to see nobody on Masked Singer. I don't want to see anybody on a Bravo show. They're done. They're done.
They don't get a reality TV show. They're not the Kardashians.
They've done enough damage. Goodbye. The money, there is such thing as dirty, evil, devil money. So don't take that. Don't take that. Keep booking the Obamas on things and you'll be fine.
Don't do it to me. Don't do it to yourself. It's all bad. Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that. That's like, I don't like that.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to see them. I don't need to see a Tiffany Trump, her and Miley Cyrus hanging out. I don't want to see
Miley wouldn't do that, would she? No, she wouldn't.
I think I only said that because they have, like, similar talking voices. Did you see when she was, like, at the LGBTs for Trump? She was like, my daddy. he loves gays. That's her. That was Tiffany Trump. You thought she was maybe had like a cute, you know, white girl voice? No. She sounded like she had all the smoking cigarettes and all the drinks and sucked all the dicks. Which ain't nothing wrong about it, but hey, you know, you just do it. Live your life, Tiffany Trump, away from me.
Some people have voices that don't look like their faces, you know? She happens to be one of them.
Oh, that happens. Yeah.
Go ahead, Tiffany, with your voice doing your thing. Just don't go ahead where I can see you. I would like to not see you.
Sorry, that was a tangent. Where are we? White feminism. Oh, yeah. White feminism, white feminism. Ooh,
so, that's one, love that you had a song prepared. Two, you also mentioned it in the last episode about Lovecraft Country, which you tracked in your song. Thank you for the tag back. Very into that for you, for me, for us. And oh my goodness, what a challenging phrase, right? I feel like this conversation might create some prickly pears. So listeners, if you're feeling prickly, I hear you, I see you, and hear me out. Oftentimes in feminist spaces and conversations, melanated women are asked to put their womanhood above their culture or their color or their race. We're asked to go all in for sisterhood, regardless of the differences between our sisters and our sisterhoods. I have been asked to do this in many a show in order to support specific ideals and just, again, to just celebrate, like, you're my sister and I'm your sister and there are no differences. Honey, look, I'm all here for the sisterhood. I am all here for celebrating women. Like, sis, let me adjust your crown. It is heavy. I get it. Like, I'm here for that. But I do have an issue when feminism forgets that their melanated sisters have had a very different battle than their white sisters. And I have an especially hard time in August, around August 26th, when I was like, Women's Equality Day, let's wear white in solidarity, because in 1919, this day, women got the right to vote.
White women, yeah.
White yeah. women. Correct, correct, ding, ding, ding. White women got the right to vote. So just go through me, go with me on this journey about why white feminism.
Oh!
Yes,
oh,
talk to me.
Can
talk
I
to
say
me.
Something
Please.
Too?
Yes.
And because, you know, when you talk, people get, you know, getting prickly, like, this is not an attack on anybody. We are here at this podcast to learn and grow and to be better, because we saw the work that still needs to be done when 70 million Americans voted to reelect. It wasn't like the first time was an accident, mm-hmm. where that we had, the, even then, they when someone shows you who they really are, believe them the first time, Maya Angelou, mm-hmm. right? They saw when he came rolling down the escalator, or who he was a racist human being and a garbage person, right?
Yes.
And so in all the shenanigans that came up, Access Hollywood, da da da. And then 4 years later, he got, was even worse, magnified, and they still voted. So we know that there's so much more work to do, and that, like, you know, you might be like, well, I'm part of the choir. The choir needs to be preached to too sometimes, mm. right? Sometimes the choir, what you do? Doing some things, choir. What's that over there, choir?
Sneaky. Mm-hmm.
Choir would be sneaky because they think they can get away with it because they're like, oh, I'm clapping and singing along. No, y'all need to hear this too. So it's like in our journey to continue doing the work, we have to confront our own shortcomings sometimes.
100%. 100%. And that's exactly where I'm at. You know, as we are celebrating Vice President-elect Kamala Harris and Representative Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, honey, and we are celebrating Representative Stacey Abrams and the millions of Black women who continue to save the vote time and time again. Sisterhood, mm-hmm. yes, but let's not attempt to ignore or erase the struggle of our melanated sisters as we move forward to full equality, right? Equality, and it's not the same, you know, stepping stone for everybody. You might need 4 feet, I might need 10 feet. We all have to figure it out. And don't erase my 7 feet in at 10 feet because you only need 3 feet. Girl, don't play with me. Data, that's numbers.
See, look at the data. See that data? But that's actually what equity is that, like, you know, everybody has different feet or levels that they are needing. You have to adjust accordingly.
Mm-hmm. 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 So since we're talking about the vote and our victory and all of these things, I thought we'd go down a little, you know, little rabbit hole of voting, the timelines, what that looked like for us really quickly. You know, a little timeline history lesson, one time for your holy mind.
take me through a time traveling history lesson. Whoa! Diddly,
diddly, the time last year, the time warp again.
For black women.
Yes. So way back in 1856.
Well, sorry, I'm being the choir. I'm done. That's the choir. Last. I had to. You said way back. Way. Well.
I feel like all you right. have the choir throughout this whole thing now. Thank you.
I can't. It's serious. I want black women to have their moment.
But Jennifer Hudson might.
No, she won't either. Keep out of here, J-Hood. Just listen, J-Hood. I'm not telling you what to do, but like, listen.
James is having a very difficult battle with J-Hood right now. It's a whole moment. I was about to start singing it too, but I can't get lost in it. I can't get lost
okay,
in it.
Okay, all right, all right.
Oh my God.
Dream girls, get out of here.
Okay, so way back in 1856, all white men, so including people who did not own property, there were no like special rules or regulations, all white men were allowed to vote. They were like, men, white man, you can vote, 1856.
Good for them, huh?
Right? You know what I mean? It was a fantastic time. So in 1870, which was the 15th Amendment, that's when it got ratified, technically, black men were allowed
Sorry,
to vote.
Ladies, gotta go.
Gotta go. So I say technically go. Because let's not forget that there was all kinds of voter suppression in a major way. So literacy tests, there were complete incorrect information being given to black folks, Negro folks at the time.
And those literacy tests are hard. There were people who tried to take them today, like they couldn't even pass, like law students. Like they were very hard.
Exactly. Yeah. Insane. There was just utter violence, murder, beatings, fire hoses, and voting tolls. You have to pay XYZ amount of money. And let's be real, we all know that back in 1870, who didn't have no money? Black people.
Yeah. So you're like, well, I can either vote or like have this home and put food on the table.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then 1819 was the 19th Amendment, but ratified in, 1919, ratified in 1920, white women. And technically, because of the 15th Amendment, technically black women were allowed to vote.
Okay. All right.
Lies and deceit. Because of all of this voter suppression is still happening. What? Right, honey? We're in 1920.
Right, yes.
Girl, when you saw a black person and a white person at a poll, you ain't seen no black person at a poll.
Were women in the North, black women in the North able to vote?
The North is a very broad term, right? Were black women in certain places that were incredibly liberal and incredibly forward-thinking allowed to vote?
Right.
Yes. Then in 1924, some indigenous peoples were allowed to vote with the Indian Citizenship Act, which granted citizenship to Native Americans, which I think is crazy because they were like, I'm gonna steal your land, but you're not a citizen because I can't. It still drives me crazy. But granted citizenship, quote, to Native peoples. But many states, of course, made laws and policies to prohibit that. 1947, many of those legal barriers against indigenous peoples were ratified and indigenous peoples were allowed to vote. But not until 1952 were Asian Americans able to become citizens. So again, we're going from 1856, all white men. Now it's 1952, Asian Americans are finally able to become citizens and vote. And then it wasn't actually until 1965 that black people on a federal level truly had the right to vote. When we get all excited about 1919, 1920, August 26th, this is not the, oh, well, we all got to vote. Let's all wear white. Let's all celebrate as sisters. No, honey. Let's celebrate the civil rights movement. Let's celebrate when we all genuinely had this right. That's exactly it. So white suffragettes cut their losses once they realized that specifically, like, you know, you know, the Southern Senate and Southern politicians were not having, they're like, you know, black men already have the right to vote. We're not going to give this power to the other half of the, let me quote this. This is, okay. South Carolina Senator Ellison Smith in 1919, before the vote, said that it was a, quote, crime against white civilization that black men, apart a part of what he called the alien and unfit Negro race, were allowed to vote with the 15th Amendment, and that extending the vote to, quote, the other half of the Negro race would unleash new evils. So when white suffragists heard that white men were thinking this, they cut their losses and were like, okay, listen, Black sisters, I appreciate you getting us this far, but we're going to go ahead with white supremacy here. And they did. They full on were like, hey, well, if you're really into white supremacy, you're going to get a whole lot more white votes. The Black vote, the Black men won't even matter anymore because you'll have all these white women voting with you. So white supremacy, if you make it federal, that all white people are better than all Black people, you'll get what you want. And that's how they got the vote.
Wow. Crabs in a barrel. And this literally reminds me of the ending to Lovecraft Country. It literally is sometimes like why we single out like white feminism when it when the rights of white women in particularly come like at the hands, or what is it, that not the hands, but like in at the what's the word I'm looking for, and what at the, you know, at the throwaway of another group of people, you know, like
the coattails, riding on the coattails of the,
or like, no, I feel like we're playing Pictionary or charades. Okay.
Yeah, I love
first word,
but like, how many when
but when like the rights of like one group come at the behest of
expense?
Another, at the expense. Yes. Mm-hmm. When the rights, we talk about white feminism, it's like when the rights of white women come at the behest of like Black women or any other group, where it's just like stepping on another group to be able to get yours. And sometimes I think it can be self-conscious, you know, and sometimes I think too, this is me just theorizing, but I think because for some white women, they feel their own oppression, and then not all, but then they won't acknowledge their own privilege, right? And so it almost sometimes feels like it gives them license to also, I don't know, step on others. It's like, well, I'm a second class citizen. I need to get mine. But it's like, whoa, but you also have these different privileges, and you're getting yours at the expense of others.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also that game of, well, I can help you once I'm at the top. Once I'm at the top, I can reach down and help you. But it's like, that's not what actually happens, honey. When you're at the top, you forget about the people at the bottom.
Like, right? Who? What?
What you talking about? Excuse me? I don't know your name.
You got like, all by myself.
Right. Which is the most wild. So that's just talking about.
And Soda. white feminists love themselves. The suffragettes, those white suffragettes, loves themselves from Frederick Douglass. Loved him. They let Frederick Douglass come to like their meetings and speak, but Black women
at their convention, yes, exactly, in Seneca Falls. Yes. And he was like, hey, we need equal rights, we need equal vote, yada yada. And they were like, yes, that is correct. Black women, come on, let's talk about it. And then when the vote actually happened, they were like, just kidding, bye. That's what happened, which is so wild.
Because that's the power of this, that's the power of the sexual attractions of Frederick Douglass. He can get white racist women to like almost vote for the rights of Black women. Almost.
You know, y'all could come help us, but when it comes down to it, it's just, so that's just the vote. Then we get to, so the Voting Rights Act was in 1965, but the Equal Pay Act in 1963 was to prohibit discrimination on account of sex in the payment of wages by employees engaged in commerce or the production of goods for commerce. So it was, hey, women, we can't discriminate against you for equal pay, which, let's be real, this is still a problem today, which we'll get into in a minute. But again, the Equal Pay Act of 1963, the discrimination didn't include race. That didn't happen until 1964 with the Civil Rights Act. And that finally prohibited discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. So again, it's this, oh, well, we got it. But, you know, our sisters in arms, our melanated sisters, we're leaving them behind. They're still waiting to come today. And with wages, and we can even, actually, I should have went back to voting, but with wages, even today, to the dollar that white men make, white women make 79 cents, which is horrible, mind you, but Black women make 63 cents. and Native women make 60 cents, and Latina women make 55 cents to the dollar that white men make. So still in today's society, we are trying to catch up to where white women are. So when we are having, you know, wearing a pussy hat at the Women's March and all these things, there is a heavier burden, as you were saying, on our melanated sisters, because we're still struggling. We're still struggling to catch up to womanhood. So it's difficult for me to put my womanhood first, you know, to put my womanhood before my blackness. It's a struggle because my blackness is holding me back more than my womanhood is, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And because other ladies in the struggle, the lady struggle, have cast you aside mm-hmm. time and time again, and have like the power of racism is very yes. strong. That it is a big power that has been weaponized against black people, and it doesn't even matter what disenfranchised group you might be on. If there are white people in it, it can be used against you
at any moment. Anything, including this vote, which I know you said that we should wait until all the votes get counted and all the things. Like, I get it. I know. But like,
because I'm just, what about the white ladies in Philadelphia? I don't know what they did. The five of them are there. Maybe it'll turn the
person. Stop it. The five of them. All you listeners in Philly, we know you're there. White women, we see you.
We're in Atlanta. Like, you get it. The white ladies in Philly and Atlanta. Yes, 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 yes. Well, let me see what your votes were.
So far, Tuesday the 10th, mm-hmm. November 10th, 2020, black women, of course,
yeah.
mm-hmm. voted 91% voted for Biden, 8% for Trump, which unfortunately is up, which like, I hate to even admit but it, here's, but it's up for Trump.
But wait, this is my thing that I'm saying, because I said that number back on Tuesday and Wednesday. I don't think we have the updated data of the vote by mail yet, is my thing that I'm thinking. And I think the data that you're going to bring out is still absolutely important, but we haven't counted like all the vote by mail yet. We don't know. We just like exit polling is just such a funky thing. It usually takes a while, because this happened in 2016 as well. It looked like white women, the number wasn't what we thought it was. It just took more time to like do more exit polling. Because I think that number for black women is just going to go up, because once you get all the votes from, you know, Philly and Milwaukee and stuff like that, and that's as it is now for Tuesday, Wednesday. Or whenever this article, because that's the number that I had, 91. And so I'm thinking that it's just going to go, it's just going to be even higher, because the people who voted on those first day or the numbers that we were getting, it's just going to naturally askew a little bit more conservative, was my thing. But this is still good to know where it stands now, because there's still work that needs to be done. When the pollsters are calling, fill out different surveys, because we don't know, because when you vote, you don't click a box that says I'm black. Like, we get these numbers from pollsters, and so that's why it's important to like have good pollsters. Like, we won't know until they've done the polling, if that makes sense. But mm-hmm. the numbers are still, yeah, like,
it just, I don't know, it is a, the numbers are so skewed. Right. It's not like they're close. It's not like it's a little bit one way or the other. It's, you know, there's a very large gap. 91% or let's say just for Trump, 8% to 55%.
Yeah.
That is
it's
massive. And the idea that, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, we can all say, well, I'm a feminist and all feminism is the same and all women are fighting for the same thing. Baby, we're not.
Yeah.
We're not fighting for the same thing, because I will put money on the fact that a lot of those women, those white women who voted for Trump, would call themselves feminists. And it is skewed, and I don't understand it, but I would bet you that they did.
I don't know if the Republican women, not all of them, call themselves feminist, because feminism's had such a over the years, has, like, conservative women... new, like, younger conservative women might, but I feel like it's been such a skew that they don't want to call themselves. Like, some of them like the safety that they get, that they feel like they get from being this protected class. Like, I think some of them understand the power that they have in being a protected white lady.
A protected white lady. That is very real. I just, yeah, I don't know. That's my chat about why we say white feminism, why we talk about it, why we use those terms, is because it is a different fight. It is just not the same. Yes, there are parallels. Yes, we do go through similar struggles, but it's a Venn diagram where, you know, you're sitting in the middle and we're over here way on the left. You know, there is so much more happening for your melanated sisters that to where we are today, that there were so many more battles, so many more obstacles for us to even show up and vote in the numbers that we did. Millions of Black women voted. And we just genuinely got the vote in 1965. Y'all, my mom was born. I'm not going to say how old she was.
I was going to say, well, my mom was born in the 60s. And it's this, you know, it shows you how close that this was, how new this was, for, you know, where I think white women have at least a generation or two more of women in their family who maybe had been voting, right? And again, not to say, like, I mean, women's suffrage, like, yeah, they went through hell. It was 100 years of, like, da-da-da. But I think it's, like, make sure that, like, your rights don't come at the expense of another groups. And also, I think that's why it's always so important. I mean, I really think this is, like, I think Janet Jackson said this in a PSA video, and it always stuck with me.
Like, I'm here for it. I just... You're feeling your own feelings, okay?
When Janet speaks, we listen. And she'll speak very softly, so you need to be quiet, because it's going to be soft.
Y'all, have you ever heard James be quiet?
You got me quiet. And Janet, when Janet speaks, everything shh. And Janet says, "We're not safe until we're all safe." And if you didn't hear what Janet just said, she said, "We're not equal until we're all equal," or something. "We're not free until we're all free."
You done said like safe. And you done said equal. You said free.
I couldn't hear her. She was whispering. But she said something and I got the gist of it. And but the idea is that, like, we're not free until we're all free. And so you have to, the idea is that, like, that's why we fight for the person who's at the bottom. I mean, that's why it's like, you know, when you look at, like, Black trans lives matter, when we know that Black trans lives, like, when Black trans folks have pure equity, I think we'll be there. We might discover there's another group and we got to look at that, you know, for differently abled people. But it's like, those are the folks that we need to definitely be looking out for. I myself, as a Black queer man, I wasn't going to the polls for myself. I was going for the other communities that were even worse off for me. Maybe people in, like, you know, poorer communities or, like, undocumented folks, or, like, who stood the most to lose. And it's something that we have to remember, that it's we the people. I think this society has gotten so incredibly selfish, and it's like, think about the next person who maybe, yes, you've got struggle, but maybe go another rung or two below you and see how you can vote for them, how that might impact you, right? Or might impact them. Your tax bracket, you'll be fine. Your money, you'll be fine. Like, who, and because it's gonna help. It's not trickle down. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It's trickle up. Because you're going to reap the benefits when there's less people suffering, when there's people who, this ties into economics, but when there's less people who are suffering, there's more people who are able to participate into the economy. It's going to stimulate the economy and just the general well-being. You won't have to live with, like, that, like, knowing that is there. When there is a homeless person that you walk by on the street, it affects you. It can't not affect you. You maybe have gotten so numb to it to a certain effect, but that's like a wall that you've built up with, right? So it's like, you know, in Finland, when they give every homeless person a house, it's gonna alleviate that stress from that population, you know? I don't know where I just got, but Janet Jackson, vote for her.
You know, I can't with you, vote for her.
But white feminism, stop it. Cut it out.
Stop it.
It's 2020.
Just be a part of the unit. Yeah. Don't tell us to be a part of your unit. You come be a part of our unit. It's the same as the Katy Perry. It's the same as the Shazam. You know, it's not our job to meet you. It's not our job to come to the center. It is your job to understand the struggle that we are going through.
Oh, and you know what? White feminism is not just for white women. It's also for white gays. Because let me tell you, as I was partying, having a great time on my stoop, celebrating this historic win that, like, my life as a black person and other people of color was going to be a little bit easier, this little white gay, Ken, was coming over. You know what? I call him a Ken, but he wasn't even that cute. But I'm calling him a Ken because he was white and twinkie. And he comes over and he's like, oh, I saw you guys having a great time. I just want to come in, like, oh, come over and dance with you guys. And I'm like, oh, okay, great, cool. And then he's like, so tell me five good things about Biden.
You know what? Today's not the day.
And so I've also, like, drinking, because we all know how much I was drinking to the point where I thought I had coronavirus, like, the next day. But I should have had to have a Rolodex of five things as you were coming over to my house and my property and my area that I, you know, and quizzing me. That's not my job. You go find five things. Well, he messed...
You guys, stop asking black people to educate you for free. Stop it. It's not our job.
And what was the real intention behind that anyways? Did he really want to know? Because he could have Googled. And today of all days, like, especially, like, understand, like, how historic this day was for black people, for, you know, for people of Southeast Asian descent, like, for people of color. It was a huge deal. And so not today. He messed with me at the wrong moment, because did I chase that little white boy down the street yelling at him? You bet your bottom dollar. I was like, how dare you, today of all days. My ancestors built this country. Black people saved this country from itself. Listen to Jim Clayburn. Listen to black women who did the work. What have you done? What have you done? Joe Biden has probably done more for the black community than you probably ever will in your entire lifetime. Like, don't come with me at that day. My ancestors built this country for free. How dare you?
What is the intention? Like, what could possibly be the intention? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's, I don't understand, because, okay, yes, you are white. You are probably cis. I don't know. I see him. I didn't know him. I didn't ask. Pero you are gay.
Yeah.
And your marriage was gonna get swept away. Your rights swept away. How is us taking down this monster of a human being bad for you? So if it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand. Are you that rich? Are you just making all the money? And if you're making all the money, what are you doing at James's house?
Why are you? Yeah. So, yeah. Yep. Nope. I'm right there. So that was... That was the experience. That was very frustrating. And at first, like, you know, again, I am trying to be a person of, I am trying to listen. I try to meet people where they are, but not leave them there. But not when I'm that many drinks in and I'm celebrating. And again, like, it's not our job to have to explain things to you. Again, this was exciting for me. White feminism, also white liberalism. Everything that you have said would also equate over to white liberalism. That, like, again, when you're looking at, you know, Kamala Harris, understand her as vice president, her journey is going to be a lot different. And I think it's very easy for us as liberals to be so cynical. Cynicism is cool. It's easy. How can we support this administration and push it to get what we need to get done? Like a kid on the swing set, right? You don't just like give it one push and be like, well, you're not doing anything. Kick your legs, kid. Kick your legs. We the people, let's keep pushing them and pushing them, but not too much, because then they'll do a full circle. We'll be like, oh, God, you know, we don't want that. But we want to.
You know what? I actually have recently been talking about the full circle and, like, Berkeley, hey, I see you. I enjoy you from time to time. But also there is a lot of, quote, woke folk in Berkeley who have just made the full circle. Woke folk. But the full circle, like, I honestly, I don't know. This is maybe weird to say, but I would rather have a conversation with somebody that I know is clearly racist than somebody who is just so anti-race and, like, I'm so above it. And I just, like, my chakras are so aligned and I'm just, I've ascended. So I don't even see it anymore. Fuck you, bitch. Because I see it and everybody else does.
See me.
You're not seeing me. You've circled back. Now you're racist again because you're erasing me. You're and irracist.
I've been saying that for so long that some people on the political circle, I was saying that too. Like, y'all are so far to the left of me that you're on the right.
It's a trip.
Right? Like, as in you're to my right. Like, you went so far away. Like, you are right there with the MAGA people. MAGA in a blue hat. So we got to be careful and watch that. listen to
Black. We're on Minority Corner. Jennifer, with the tongue pop. White corner. The tongue pop in a blazer. Like, she's fancy today.
Sam Jackson and Wonderful as always, and she'll be back next week, because this week we just didn't have enough time to dive into the relationship between racism and economics and how it's costing everybody trillions of dollars. We got the data. Oh, yes. If you know anything about Minority Corner, apparently these days we've got the data. So that is coming next week. But for this week, let's jump into a quick little fact check. Okay, just a few things from this week's episode. So I do want to touch on, I had asked a question about, were Black women in the North allowed to vote? So after the 19th, around the time of the 19th Amendment, Black women did manage to vote in 1920, though some had actually been exercising the right for several years in states like California, Illinois, and New York, where women's suffrage became law before the 19th Amendment was ratified. And even more registered and cast ballots after its passage. But this is a great example that in Delaware, a bunch of Black women were trying to go to register to vote. And pretty much a bunch of Black women were pretty much turned away from the polls. A handful were able to, and that was in Delaware. So while some Black women were able to vote in different areas of the country, like Sam had mentioned, that was not the case. It was not the law of the land. It was not everywhere, and definitely down in the Jim Crow South. And not to mention, even if you were a woman in more of a northern state or a west coast state, does not mean that you were not experiencing all kinds of different racism that was occurring, because as we know, racism existed all over this country and still does to this day. I didn't get to finish one of my thoughts. I did want to also mention that, similar to how Black women were sort of pushed to the outsides of feminist movements or the women's suffrage, they also experienced the same when it came to civil rights movements. They didn't necessarily want to talk about feminism in it. And so Black women have been doing the work for both feminism and the civil rights movement, but often pushed aside, not given the credit, asked to take a seat, your turn is next, or we're gonna just write on the work that you did and not give you any credit for it. So that's why it's just so powerful seeing, you know, Kamala Harris, this moment so long overdue, and seeing her wear white. It's like, now all women, now we are getting there, now that glass ceiling is cracking. So it had such a full circle moment, and just taking ownership of the work that Black women had been doing. Sam mentioned one quick little fact check. Sam had mentioned a toll, that they had to pay a toll to vote. It was actually a poll tax, is what she meant to say. And my whole entire thing about exit polling, and why I'm saying let's wait on the data for the numbers, these are great starting points for conversations. I don't trust any of the polls. I need to wait until we actually hear. I don't know how exit polling really works. So if you do know, tweet at us, let us know, because it's not like there's a little bubble on your little voting ballot that says, like, it's not like the SATs and you put what race you are. So I feel like the most accurate data from the elections usually happens a few weeks afterwards, if there's just more research and more conversations that good pollsters do, because as we've seen, these polls be fucked up. But something that doesn't get shouted out enough, we're having this conversation because it's sometimes too early to be having these conversations, because we don't know yet when the dust settles, even showing that Latina women, 70%, went for Joe Biden, right? And so there's all this narrative about, like, oh gosh, you know, so many, you know, Latinx voters voted for Trump. And maybe in certain sects, maybe in certain, you know, maybe in Florida, but down in Nevada, New Mexico, Arizona, and even, you know, parts of Texas, Latina women, and there's a beautiful coalition that is just strengthening between Black women and Latina women, are the future and the backbone of the Democratic Party. So with that being said, Democrats, progressives, let's make sure that we're not cannibalizing each other. There was a Congress folks who were trying to blame progressives for why we lost seats in the House. It's important we can have these conversations and debates, but let's not cannibalize each other, right? Because if we really look at it, progressives really helped to turn out the vote. Voter turnout was down. leading into the pandemic. And it wasn't until after the protests that happened with George Floyd did we see voter turnout turn out. All the progressive candidates, they won. Folks for Medicare for All, they won. So we need to make sure that we're having the right candidates in the right areas, in the right cities, listening to their constituents. We need to make sure that we have candidates who are actually having conversations that their constituents actually care about. This election has shown us just how politics is local. All the big wins, they happen at the local level and transpired into some big wins nationally. But different communities, different cities are having different conversations. And I think that's really important to pay attention to. And the constituents, make your voices heard. They listen to us. Power of the people. We have the power. And also, run digital ads. Like, some of these Democrats got beat in Congress because they just ran shitty campaigns. It's as simple as that. Welcome 2020, run digital campaigns. Like, you can't just run on, you know, I hate Trump. You know, it's what are you actually for? We win at the end of the day when we work together. So I just want to make sure Democrats are not cannibalizing each other. You know, we have proven we actually don't need to pull in racist Republicans. They can come along on the road. But like, listen, if we turn out and we stay unified, we got this. We need to rally our base, which is progressives, POC voters, and the Republicans and people in the center that want to see the light and come on board. We got you. We're a big tent with room for all. So these issues around, you know, civil rights and equity and the environment, look at these, you know, the Women's March, Black Lives Matter marches, the kids in Parkland and the environment, you know, protests and things like that. Like, those are actually winning issues. We just need to make sure that we're registering people to vote, keeping them active, and also showing up for them once our elected officials are there, making sure that they are working for the folks that also did get them in there. So it's just a lot of work. And it is, in some cases, you know, is it rebranding or is it getting our message more out there, right? Like, you know, defining more so what defund the police means or calling it something different. I don't care. I want it done. I want Black people to not get shot. I want our police, you know, structures to be reformed. And if we need to call it something else, then whatever. Or keep having these conversations. I think it's maybe a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit, it's a lot. It's not going to be so cut and dry, right? So that's what we're talking about. We're doing the work. We're having these conversations. It's not clear. It's not forward, but it is forward, and it is forward. And it's just, you know, doing the work, staying engaged, staying in it. Georgia is coming up. Like we've said, donate, text bank, get involved. Take your break, but brunch is still canceled for many different reasons. And two, just also the amount of Black people and just folks in general, 74 million people went out and voted during a pandemic. Like, go off, y'all. Go off. Everything was against us and we turned it out. So congratulations. Definitely celebrate. And that's it. Thank you so much to Sarah Brown, our wonderful editor. We love you so much. Sam Jackson, who was on the show today and handling our social media marketing. And thank you to all of you amazing listeners who are so dedicated to doing the work, spreading the message, being the choir. Sometimes the choir is, you know, clapping a little bit offbeat, but that's why we have these rehearsals, right? To get that beat back together, choir. Get that beat back together. And I love you all so much. Thank you for listening to Minority Corner, because together we're the majority. Love y'all.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.